Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. When we last left off, we were watching Christ's apostles straining at the oars in the boat on the stormy Sea of Galilee, on their way to the west side of the sea, really a lake. The Lord had sent them ahead of him. He had retreated by himself to a mountain to pray, as was his custom. Let's pick up the narrative now in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 45. Mark 6, 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. So Jesus is on the mountain. They are in the boat, wrestling their oars against the wind, and what would have been a leisurely journey along the coast, because of the storm, is now a hard-fought battle against the elements in the middle of the sea. They are now miles, several kilometers away from Jesus. But Jesus sees them. I believe the weather would have made it so that the Lord cannot physically see them with his own two eyes. But because he is God, Jesus is omniscient, and that means he always sees with pristine clarity everyone. As Job said, "Does he not see my ways and number all my steps?" As it says in 2 Chronicles, "The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth." And Hebrews 4:13, "There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." The Lord sees these men struggling to survive, and so he sets out to meet them in a most miraculous way. I just want to remind you that the men in the boat are experienced fishermen. They have much experience on this sea. This isn't you and me as passengers on a summer cruise across a lake. These guys know what they are doing, and yet clearly they're struggling. So at about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them. The fourth watch was between 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. As we said last time, the disciples left the shore after the feeding of the 5,000 no later than 9 p.m. the night before. So they have been out on this stormy sea for, let's say, a minimum of 6 hours, more likely 9 hours. According to John's account, they had only been able to row 3 or 4 miles, 4 to 6 kilometers. Well, that is how contrary the winds were. Suddenly, along comes Jesus walking on the sea. Imagine this in your mind's eye, friends. Our Lord walked the tumultuous seawater as if it were a cement floor. Only God could do this, and Jesus is God. The translation, "he intended to pass by them," is not very good. This is better translated, according to language scholars, "he desired to come alongside them." When the disciples see Jesus, they freak out. And let's be honest, wouldn't we? Verse 49 of Mark chapter 6, "When they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified." These poor disciples, they were already very afraid of the weather conditions, and now they're plunged into sheer panic. They're full of dread. "It's a phantom! Ah!" they scream. But immediately, Mark's favorite word, immediately Jesus spoke with them and said to them, "Take courage, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus says, "Be brave. Be of good cheer. It is I." And "it is I" can easily be translated, "I am." Which, as we have learned on God Is, I Am is the personal name for God. Think back to Exodus 3 when God reveals himself to Moses at the burning bush as I Am. Christ is saying, "I am God." And God is here with you, walking alongside you on the water. Just then, and I love this, verse 51, "Then Jesus got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped." What a turn of events. They go from nearly drowning to sheer panic at seeing what they assumed was a ghost, to hearing the familiar voice of their Lord, to having Jesus immediately calm the sea, to Christ getting into the boat with them. In the same account over in John's Gospel, he says, "So they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going." John 6, verse 21. John uses Mark's favorite word, "immediately." Once the all-powerful Jesus got into that boat, there was no need to row. Zip! They were there at the seashore, at Gennesaret, where they were going. Mark says they were utterly astonished. And as I told you last time, Matthew adds this, "Those who were in the boat worshipped Jesus, saying, 'You are certainly God's Son.'" The lesson was learned. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is God. Job chapter 9 and verse 8, speaking of God, "And he tramples down the waves of the sea." Did that verse pop into the disciples' minds? God tramples down the waves of the sea. He sure does. This is Jesus, the Son of God, at night. What a powerful, authoritative ministry he had at night. We have seen this in Mark chapter 1, and briefly in Mark chapter 4, and now in Mark chapter 6, with reference to the other Gospels. And now, come along with me as we see that our Lord enjoyed fellowship, food, and rest with his friends, at night, in a place called Bethany. To get at both the place, Bethany, and the people who lived there, I will have us jump around a little in the Gospels and begin in Luke chapter 10. Let me read Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. This will give us insights into the place and the people. This is Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. "Now, as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Here, Luke does not give us the precise name of the village into which Jesus has entered, but the Apostle John tells us this village was Bethany, as we will see when we soon get to John chapter 12. For now, note the name of the village is Bethany, and I must say which Bethany, because the Gospels mention two. This one was 2 miles east of the temple in Jerusalem. It is on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. This is not Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John the Baptist had ministry. Well, that's the place. We are introduced to two women who lived there, Martha, it was her home, and her sister Mary. If you have spent time with Jesus and in the Gospels, then you know this text, And our purpose for reading this is not to exposit, to teach it. It is enough to know that here in Bethany are two sisters, one of whom Martha owns the home that is there. When these two sisters are mentioned in Scripture, often Martha's name comes first, so as to indicate she was older. Her Aramaic name means mistress, as in the female head of the household. Many commentators believe she was a widow, since she has the house, but there is no mention of her husband's name. Martha invites Jesus to come into the home and spend time with them, enjoying a good meal which she has prepared. There is one more important thing I want you to notice about Martha and Mary. Both of these women believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were his disciples. Martha says, "Lord," when she begins her complaint about her younger sister. Lord, she believed. She accepted that Jesus was her master. And of course, Mary, by her posture at the feet of Jesus and how she listened to his word and soaked in his teaching, Mary believed in him. As their story develops, especially in John chapters 11 and 12, you will see how deep their faith in Christ was. Like many of you, I am sure, I enjoy Martha and Mary. I always like reading about them and look forward to meeting them one day in heaven. Luke 10:38 to 42. Mark this. Put a note in your Bible, because this village Bethany is a significant place for Christ. And Martha and Mary are disciples of Christ that we are going to meet again. I hope you are tracking with us, and I pray this study so far has been meaningful to you. Please do share this with others. Communicate to me how this is impacting you and how I can pray for you as you listen. I hope you will do this, and then be sure and come back next time as we continue to follow the Lord Jesus at night. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.